The recordings have started.
Okay, so welcome all to the first meeting of the Cross-Community Working Party on ICANN's Corporate and Social Responsibility to Respect Human Rights. We got an agenda. Marilia said she's got a small issue for our, all other business, namely an update on the RPM review, which is great. We'll start up, start off with a short overview on what has been happening in the CCWG, the Cross-Community Working Group on Accountability in relation to human rights. Even though I think many of you have followed it, I think it would be great if we would have a short overview. So perhaps, Tatiana, could you give a short overview of where we are in the CCWG?
Yes, Tatiana Trupina is speaking for the record. I'm actually wondering if this review would be of any interest, because I, well, maybe to Nigel only, because I know that Artie and Marilia are following this process, but nevertheless, just for the record. So in CCWG, we yesterday, no, the day before yesterday, we had the second reading on human rights bylaw language, and up till now, up till today, we had basically three concepts. Concept A, to proceed with the current bylaw language. Concept B was to move everything to the work stream 2 and start discussing everything from zero, well, from square one. And this option B was preferred by the board because the board submitted its comments again about human rights bylaw language and told that they prefer moving everything to the work stream 2. And option C was to make this bylaw language dormant, not operational, till the framework of interpretation would be adopted. Today we've got the email from accountability legal counselors saying that they talked to the ICANN lawyers and that they also now prefer option C because option A, just proceeding with the current bylaw language, will open the door to different claims and IRPs. So I believe that right now option C, making non-operational bylaw, is our only option, but I'm also optimistic that since it addresses all the board concerns, we can probably push it and we are not going to give up. I believe that we shall not allow moving this issue to the work stream too. Thanks. That was all. Thank you.
That's great. Marilia, please come in.
You know, although I'm following the discussions, I confess that the ACB is kind of confusing still for me. So just on practical terms, what is the difference between the 2C that is likely to be the option that is chosen and just leaving it for work stream 2?
I will answer. Tatiana Trupina is speaking. The difference between leaving everything to the work stream 2, moving to the work stream 2, without having any bylaw language, and adopting the bylaw language and developing the framework in the work stream 2 while bylaw language is not operational, is to me clear. Because if everything will be moved to the work stream 2, we will have to start the discussions again. And the board is insisting that we have to discuss again whether we need the bylaw language at all. So this is the difference. If we will adopt the option C, we will have a bylaw language. Maybe it will not be operational, but at least we'll have the bylaw. And I strongly believe that to develop any framework for interpretation, we need to have the bylaw text. We cannot just develop framework of interpretation first and then provide the bylaw. I think this would be like put the cart in front of the horse. So I believe that option C in this way much more preferable than starting from scratch, because if we will lose and everything would be moved to the work stream 2, it would mean that all our discussions, all our work is basically trashed. Thanks.
Okay, that's thank you very much, Tatiana. So the overview indeed is, and the concerns that are options. So 3A is there will be a bylaw and it will be operationalized. The board comments say that there would be a problem because ICANN could be taken to court. Well, that risk has been countered by the independent lawyers, but the board came up with the risk that the human rights commitment of ICANN, which would then be directly operational, could then be challenged in an IRP, and that would mean that the human rights commitment of ICANN would be developed in the IRP and not in Workstream 2. So that was the comment of the board on option 3A. 3B was the option by the board to push everything to Workstream 2. There was considerable pushback against that because then everything would be dependent on Workstream 2 and there might be no outcome at the end of that. And then 3C is somewhat the middle ground. It means we'll have a dormant bylaw or a bylaw that's not active until the framework of interpretation is defined. And some people see this as the ideal middle ground. Some people say this is a risky position because as long as the framework of interpretation is not developed and there is no hard deadline for that, that could drag on very long. So that doesn't mean that it's unclear when the bylaw would become operational. So that is where we are right now in the discussion. Tuesday we will have the third reading. So it is interesting to see where the opinions are converging.
Thank you both.
Great. Artie, you have been following this process as well. I would be very curious to also hear your opinions, positions, see how you have seen the discussion develop.
Hi, can you hear me?
I hear you very well. Thank you.
Okay, hi, this is Arti Vadla for the record. I have been following the process, and I think that after a lot of back and forth, we're finally on at least what is personally acceptable to me path, because when there was more support for option B, there was clearly undoing all the work that Work Party 4 and that this subgroup has been working towards all these months. But I think option C is a good option. At least the way I look at it, option A and C are pretty much the same thing because even though C requires that the bylaw be dormant until an FOI is implemented, but I do think that the effect of A will ultimately be the same as C, unless I'm mistaken over there. But I do think that now that at least if we safely move beyond B, we're in a good position.
Okay, great. Great. How do you see, that might then be interesting. So when we go to the discussion of subgroup three, so I think this would be a quite round update of where we are on the CCWG, unless anyone else has another point, issue, comment or question to make. Motoko, do you also hear us, and can we hear you? I hear from Mariam that you're on mute because there is some background noise from your location.
I turned my phone off just in case the background noise is mine, but I'm on the phone, Joost. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. So while we've been going through the progress on the CCWG, and we'll probably coming back to that when we're talking about subgroup three. I wanted to do a quick run along subgroup one and two first. So who is here who is active in subgroup one?
Hi, Neos. This is Marilia speaking for the transcript. I'm facilitating subgroup one. Actually, we are quite a small group so far. People who have participated in the calls, it's me, Rafik, and Helen. Well, there hasn't been much progress on this subgroup. First of all, I have been quite busy, and I apologize for that. And I took some days off. And the second of all, we are, as I said, quite a small group. So I think that we would need reinforcement on this group. What has progressed is that I have sent an email to some people in community, Kathy, the ombudsman, who have said that they would have additions to make to that table that we presented. And I'm waiting to hear back from them. And this information will be incorporated on the table, but quite frankly, we have not moved forward in terms of how to present this table in the best way. So if you guys know of people with expertise, knowledge on design or creative people that could help out, I would be very happy to have the contact of these people and try to involve them. What I can do now is to compile the information and have an updated table for Marrakesh, but I doubt that I will be able to do it alone without help having another visualization for the information that I gather from people in the community. So that's it for now.
Okay, thanks, Marilia. So the so from what I understand is that the table has become a bit bigger or a bit changed. But on the visualization front, you haven't moved much forward. Am I correct?
The table will be updated as soon as I have the responses from the people that I wrote to. I just wrote them yesterday, so there hasn't been enough time. But I can incorporate the information and make the table bigger, more complete, correct anything that we have probably done wrong or any information that is missing. But to transform this table into an actual visualization, I think that we are not having the resources to do this in the subgroup, so we may need help. If we're going to try to do something, we may need help. We have a call next week, so we are probably going to discuss that, but I don't see with the resources that we have that we'll be able to have something ready unless we have help.
Okay, so I think that where we were last time is that we had the circle diagram and that we were thinking about adding a third ring to it, right?
No, actually, what we discussed in the previous calls was that there was too much information in the circle. And in order to make it more understandable and not to scare people away, talking about rights that are implicated, but not that much. We should focus on the inner circle of the ones that are more clearly touched upon by the policies that we have on the table today, such as freedom of expression, privacy, due process. So we should focus on the inner one and leave the outer one for a later stage. So we should do kind of an incremental circle or incremental diagram. So that's what we had in mind. People like the idea of the circle. They think it's useful. They thought we were on the right track, but we needed to see how we could better represent the inner circle of that we had before.
Okay, so soon you will have the knowledge, but you don't have designers. Is that how, if I can summarize your situation?
That's it.
Okay, I can get you into contact with some data visualization for goods people. I could do that. The people from DataKind are on this, and if I'm not mistaken, I know the director of DataKind UK, so I will make this a to-do for me to get her into contact with you, and if you could then come back with just a simple table that you need to be visualized, then I think that should not be something difficult to happen.
Okay, that would be wonderful news. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll do that. If you don't hear from me by end of the day, then please remind me, okay?
Okay.
That's great. Okay, so the next thing is subgroup 2. Is there anyone here from subgroup 2?
What's the topic? Sorry.
Going back, going to subgroup 2.
Oh, we have Vidushi on the call.
It's documenting cases and examples in which ICANN is potentially impacting human rights. So the examples were RAA, UDRP, who is... I have the link to the subgroup 2 and the terms of reference and the member there. So this is supposed to be led by Pranesh. Oh, okay, that's great, Vidushi. So, if you have problem with your audio, can you provide your can you provide your telephone number to Mariam and then she can call you in? Is that okay? Okay, so try to connect, and else, please provide your telephone number to Mariam. Okay, so then we'll continue with subgroup 3, which is. Which has tasked itself with work with providing relevant inputs to workstream two of the CCWG. We have been discussing and thinking, and quite some time of the work of subgroup 3 has been going up into actually participating in the CCWG. But in discussions with Motoko and others, we have been analyzing what would be the best thing that we could contribute to Workstream 2 without us having actually have the final bylaw language already in place. And the conclusion of that discussion is it might be that actually in any case moving forward, a human rights impact assessment and a methodology for that is crucial. So. We're now playing with the idea of what is needed to make that happen and what can we do before Marrakesh. And I would like to invite Motoko to give a short overview of that. Would that be possible, Motoko?
Yes. Neil, thank you very much for giving some space to discuss this brief paper that I hope everybody had a chance to at least take a quick look at. So the background leading to this is that we were initially tasked in Dublin to look at one aspect of ICANN operation, that was the policy development process. But the discussion quickly turned into what about other aspects of ICANN operations beyond policy development? There are areas in which they can affect human rights, as evident from the work of subgroup one in putting together these the table and the visualization, and also documenting the cases where human rights impacts are evident, whether it's RAA, UDRP, who is. So the idea came to some of us that perhaps We do need a more comprehensive and systematic approach, after all. And where does that take us? That's basically the instrument of human rights impact assessment. And this is a little different than looking at a segment of ICANN, but it's about looking at ICANN's activity in its totality. And this way, we have a systematic data that we can debate among us within the working group, working party, but also we can build consensus across different working groups and also with ICANN management and the board. And so from that point of view, it's a large undertaking, but it might be something that would illuminate us. And it would definitely can benefit from the work that is already ongoing in subgroup one and subgroup two. So there are different steps that are involved, and the problem, as well as the benefit to a human rights impact assessment, that is that it actually requires engagement of management. And in this case, it might be a challenge to satisfy all these different steps of engaging management, but it's actually a way to understand what the key functions are within a corporate entity, and to have the functions explained to the people who are running the impact assessment, what are the potential concerns and risk area, and to have a back and forth so that there's a complete understanding of what the corporate entity is perceiving as human rights risks. What are the mechanisms that are already in there to address those risks, and what are things that can be proposed further to address those risks? And so it will spit out a lot of data. Now, how would this data then input would be beneficial to other things that are ongoing? Well, first and foremost, because it engages different stakeholders, it's an opportunity to create consensus within different diverse stakeholder groups within ICANN. And this would inform the board, this would inform the management about what the more immediate human rights issues are that are within ICANN's control to address, and what are things that are perhaps more of a long-term nature that requires a lot of debate, perhaps involving GAC and others. And so it also helps with the prioritization. And in any event, it's a very internally focused thing that would give ICANN management an insight into what to do. Now, depending on the timing of the bylaw language, this could feed into to the refinement of the bylaw's language. But we might be in a very happy position where the bylaw language goes ahead of the completion of the human rights impact assessment. So there are some timing considerations that perhaps some of you who are much more involved on the bylaw side would be far better positioned to advise us on. Neil, I'm about to finish, except I'm going to try and answer your question on what we can do prior to Marrakech. I think we should be able to definitely start to engage ICANN's management, and it would be nice if we could complete the questionnaire process so that we can have some analysis and reflection of the management responses on what their views are of the human rights, potential human rights impacts. And it would be wonderful if we could also have some analysis and some reflection that's written down from this group that could then be presented back to the management by the time we get to Marrakesh. But I think we should be quite realistic that we're not going to be able to do everything leading to Marrakesh. Let me stop here. I'm sorry, I talked for a very long time.
That is great, Motoko. And I think that would be achievable. So you think that, so concretely summarizing what you said, what you think that we can be achieved before Marrakesh would be a structure and a questionnaire, is that what you're saying?
So step two is the issuance of the questionnaire. Step three is analysis. And step four is going back to the management to confirm the analysis and to have further engagement. I would be delighted if we could get to step three so that at Marrakesh we could actually have this interaction with management face-to-face.
And if we would not get, because I'm a bit afraid that we are quite dependent on the information from the questionnaire. So if the staff will not respond, we will not have a deliverable.
So we obviously can try and obtain some of the information based on the working party's knowledge of ICANN's operation. In any event, it's good to have that background, which will actually feed into the drafting of the questionnaire. So the fallback would be that we propose some observations and answers to management. That's a fallback. But that would be second best. It's clearly better if we can have ICANN management responses. And so in order to do that, I think, Niels, maybe there is a way to get to the president, maybe there is a way to get to the board to explain what it is that we would like to do and get them to reinforce the message that the functional area heads really need to engage with us and respond to the questionnaire.
I see the hand of Tatiana is up. Please, Tatiana, come in.
Thanks a lot, Niels. Tatiana Tropina speaking for the record. I would like to thank Motoko. It was really a great presentation, and I think that if we are thinking about the subgroup three, human rights assessment, impact assessment should be either a part of framework of interpretation of, or at least methodology for this human rights assessment should be a part of framework of interpretation of the bylaw. I mean, I will urge us all to understand that we will have to consider all the also other factors, and we will have to work in a wider community further. But it's very nice, as Motoko suggests, to come up with something to the community for the development of the framework of interpretation. About concerns ICANN management and ICANN board, I think we have Nigel Hickson on this call. I don't know if we will be able to engage him somehow in this exercise. And also I think that we have at least two or three board members participating and the CCWG human rights discussions regularly, like Marcus Kummer, for example. It won't hurt to try, but I also think that maybe in addition we will focus our efforts on providing methodology, because I don't know how the community would react, because it's not the CCWP is not tasked to do everything for the work stream too. It would be wider community exercise. I'm sorry for repeating myself, and I think that it would be nice that we will come up with something which will fit into the work stream too. So this should be a general idea concerning what we are doing. And in this regard, not only starting human rights impact assessment, but also maybe thinking about methodology and presenting methodology, how we are going to do this, explain people how, why, and why it should be a part of work stream too, and how it will fit into the work stream too. This is just, honestly, this is just musing right now, because I have not had time to look into this deeply. Thanks.
That's great. Thank you very much for that, Tatiana. So a structure and that at least we have a document and a framework with which we could show how we go forward, and we could try to engage staff and management. And now, as Tatiana said, I'd like to go to Nigel, to what Nigel thinks, how we could engage management and staff in this process, and how he thinks we could or should go about with that. Nigel? Oh, sorry, Nigel. There was just a short overview of a human rights impact assessment that we could prepare as part of subgroup 3. But for that, we would need to prepare a questionnaire to understand the human rights impact, the human rights impact of ICANN. So we need to map certain things. So with that, we would need to have the collaboration from some staff and management to map that. What do you think is the best way to go about that? Nigel is in listening mode, but he thinks it can be done. Nigel, could you then perhaps type in the chat the way you think we should we be contacting? Should we send you the questionnaires and the setup, or should we contact you first about who we would need, and you could do a short assessment internally, who would be the right people who we could reach out to, and how we could set this up? Could you help us with that? That's great, Nigel. That's great. So subgroup 3 will continuing with in working on this, but we'll then go through this on the sublist protocol and see what we can do before Marrakesh. I see Tatiana and Artie's hands are up. Tatiana, is that an old hand or a new hand?
This is my very old hand. Sorry, I forgot to lower it.
No problem. Artie, please come in.
Hi, this is Arti. I was just wondering, what are we doing about the framework of interpretation? Because on our last call, the subgroup 3, we had talked about providing some input in creating the, in developing the framework of interpretation. But then with the recent, with the board comments about how they would like to take on the process, I was just wondering how we're going about it.
Well, I think that the, as far as I understand, Workstream 2 is still a bit of a mystery how it's going to be formed. Some people say it will be the same form as the CCWG. Some people say, people have said already it should have started before Marrakesh. Some people say it's going to start at Marrakesh. I don't know if it will be the same group of people, but it will probably also be open for new people. So I have no information about how Workstream 2 is going to take place. So it's hard to understand how that will happen. If anyone else has a deeper or better insight on how it will happen, it would be great if that person could answer the Artie's question. Marilia, Tatiana, do you have a bit of more idea and insight on what Workstream 2 will look like? I guess not, no?
Yes, I do. I mean, it wasn't the bylaw. It wasn't the interim bylaw that the group would be established and it would be CCWG-like group. So it would be community exercise. But, yeah, actually, other than that, I think it was already discussed several times that it should be CCWG kind of group, but maybe involving more community representatives who are connected to human rights issues. So I believe that this would be the case. Thanks.
Yeah, that's what I have as well. So we'll be following the developments, and then we'll definitely put a call on the list here for people to engage with that process as soon as it's clear. Being mindful of time, if there are no more questions and comments on subgroup 3, I'm going to continue to subgroup 4. Who is here from or maybe is Fidushi's audio now working? Fidushi, are you there? Fidushi? Okay, so since Fiducie's audio does not seem to be working or Fiducie is not on the call, I'm going to continue to subgroup 4. Who is here from subgroup 4? Subgroup 4 is the providing input on... no, Fiducie, we cannot hear you. Subgroup 4 is providing input to PDP on new TTLDs from a human rights perspective. I have Marilia down for that, as well as Pranesh, Alexandra, Peter Kimpion, Arti, Nareen, Sana Ali, Alexandra Ann Gonzalez, Rafiq, and Tapani.
Thank you, Nils. Sorry for not jumping sooner. We have Nils at the GENESO. Actually, in tonight's call, we are going to examine the charter that will guide the work of this policy development process. It's very likely that the charter is going to be approved today. Next step will be a call for volunteers to join the working group. So I think that this is the moment in which the subgroup will start under pressure to actually do the work. If you take a look at the charter, it has been the topics have been aggregated inside buckets. This is fruit of a discussion, a previous discussion group that was created inside the GENESO. And I think that looking at the charter, there are 5 different clusters, but 3 are of vital importance to us from a human rights perspective. The first of them will deal with important issues such as application fees and support for applicants from developing countries, which has a clear implication on economic and social rights, for instance. Bucket 2, among other things, will look at the global public interest and how this concept will apply to the new GTLD program. And there's a window of opportunity for us to discuss human rights. And on bucket 2, they have included as well the rights protection mechanisms that have an interplay with freedom of expression and also with due process. And bucket 3, which is the last one, very important to us, there will be a question that will examine specifically applicants' freedom of expression in the new GTLD program. So at least one human right was clearly expressed in the charter of the group, and community applications, which also has an implication to freedom of expression and freedom of association. Groups 4 and 5 are important, but to my view, not that much from a human rights standpoint. So these are the next steps. We are waiting for the charter to be approved and the working group to be created to start the work. I have asked Marianne to start a doodle for next week. So next week we will have a call of this subgroup in which I will be in the position to update them on the approval of the charter. And I hope that we will also be in the position to assess which are the topics that we are going to be more closely devoted to, because what I expect is that this working group will be divided into subgroups and sublists, because it's a massive topic. So we will need, for sure, several people following at least these 3 clusters that I mentioned, and I hope that we will be able to share tasks in the next call that will take place next week. Thanks.
That's great, Marilia. That's a really good work, and thanks for that. I would like to give you, if there are people have, so this is really good work, and I think you're also calling for people who want to be on that committee. I think it was open, right? At least I saw the call for that. Is that still open for people to join?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Both the working group, the call is not issued yet, and our CCWP subgroup help will be very welcome.
Perfect. So now I'm going to check if Fiducie is actually on the call, and we got an audio connection.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we hear you now. Great to hear you.
I'm so sorry about the unnecessary delay. I'm not too sure what the problem was. But subgroup 2 had a call on the 14th of January. That was our first call in which we were discussing preliminary issues. And so we basically spoke about the mandate of our group, and we divided work for the next couple of weeks to see where we want to take the draft forward. In the update that I had sent to the list earlier today, I had indicated a list of potential topics that we wanted to explore. I'm not sure if everyone has gotten that. I could possibly share it on the chat channel if that works. So basically, there was a list of 11 potential topics, and we were hoping to start work on documenting cases and on
Did we lose you? I really hope we haven't lost Fidushi. The work sounded very good.
Hello?
Yeah, you're back. Here you are.
Okay. Yeah, so we have a list of 11 potential topics that we wanted to look at, and we decided that most of them seem to be overlapping with some of the work the other subgroups are doing. And so I'm going to send across just that list so that it's easy for everyone to read. I could do it now if that helps, or I could just give you an update and send it later. I think I'll do the latter. And so we have basically four topics that we're going to be focusing on, and we've divided work. And we want to see a potential violations that I can have. And at the geographic region review working group. The second one is to preliminary issue report on a GNSA policy development process. The third is the UDRC, and the fourth is the main collisions management framework. And so we're going to have a call next Thursday or Friday, where we're going to discuss how much data we've managed to collect and also take a...
You're dropping again. Fidushi, you've dropped at least for me.
Call on what?
Aye, you're coming in and out. But if I can summarize the end of your call, is that you've listed a 11 different cases, the different people that you divided the work among the people in your subgroup, and that you'll have a call again to discuss these cases. And from what I see, what I can interpret from your trajectory, is that you'll be finished working on that and you'll be able to present that work. Hello. So that was Adobe Connect going down for me for a second. So I think the subgroup 2 work would be done by Marrakesh, and they will be able to present it there. I hope that is the case, and perhaps Fidushi could correct me if I'm wrong. in the chat. I can give you a short update on operational issues that we have been requesting a meeting together with the GAC Working Group on Human Rights and International International Law. From what I gather, they haven't agreed on a terms of reference yet. Two meetings for our group have been decided, one a presentation session in which we would present the work of the work groups, and one working session in which we would decide on how we're going forward with the work. There will also be a cross-community working group session on Friday, so participants in CCWG can join in that as well. And I think I will try to, with Marilia, to make an agenda for the human rights relevant issues before meeting in Marrakesh. But we'll have several calls before that. I would urge everyone to also get work from your working group soon to the central list so that we can adopt work as work from the CCWP, the more work we have done together before I can meeting in Marrakesh, the better. So that was my short update on operational issues. I also want to put on the agenda for Marrakesh a short evaluation, how we would like, how we see this going with the CCWP and with the subgroups, or they should keep the subgroups or bring it all better to a centralized list, or whether you like this approach. But I'll leave that to a face-to-face with connection support in Marrakesh. So in all other business, I have a point from Marilia on RPM. Marilia, come in.
Thanks, Niels. This is Marilia speaking. Before that, I just would like to remind everyone that the call for volunteers for the working group on WHO has been issued. So if you are interested on privacy, as far as I know, and maybe we need to discuss this a bit, and Stefania has had some difficulties, some problems lately, and I don't know, maybe we should reach out to her to know if she wants help with the facilitation of the working group on privacy, because we will really need this working group to start moving forward now. If you are interested, the call is open, and I think it will be open until the end of January. You can join the working group either as a full member, and as a full member, you are entitled to send emails to the list and participate vocally in the calls, or you can join as an observer. You can join the calls and participate in the mailing list only as an observer, not sending messages. I have joined as an observer, and many of our people have joined us as active group members, Stephanie, Kathy, and many others. So I think we are. This is, will be a large PDP. We always need more people, but we have some people there already. As far as I know, maybe the Council of Europe will also volunteer to be part of this working group. So we have people there, but we need to make sure that we have our subgroup activated to give support to the work that is going to be taking place in the GENESO. With regards to RPMs, the rights protection mechanisms, in our GENESO call tonight, we will examine a motion to start a policy development process to review all RPMs in all GTLDs. This policy development process will be divided into two phases. On the first phase, we will focus on the rights protection mechanisms for the new GTLDs. On the second phase, we will focus on UDRP. So this is something, as if we did not have already too much work, this is something that will be in our plates very soon. So the charter should be approved today. I will keep you updated on that. And then we will have a working group to work on rights protection mechanisms. And of course, this touches upon freedom of expression and due process for us. So that's it from me, Niels. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Marilia. A lot of useful work. I have reached out to Stefania. Stefania has also told me that she is very sorry she cannot join, and that she hasn't been as active as she wanted to, but she promised me that we'll get better. So I hope that will be actually the case, and I'm sure we can work to also get who is clear, good on the map here in the CCWP. So I think that would be all from now, unless someone else has another point. I see Artie has her hand up. Artie, come in, or is that an old hand? Artie is not able to speak for some reason. Yeah, there have been some connection issues. Unfortunately, we don't hear Artie, and we also did not hear Fidushi before, so it might also be a problem with the connection to the Indian subcontinent, which I would greatly would be quite sad about. So Artie just wanted to say that Subgroup 5 should start its work soon. I'm a member of the PDP as well. We start our first call. We have our first call on Tuesday. And she's expecting to see some work after that. That's really great. That's really great to hear that, Artie. I might indeed have skipped over Subgroup 5. So we have had updates from all subgroups. Thank you very much. I will relay the needs from Subgroup 1 to DataKind, and I'm looking forward to see you all on the next call. And I really hope that we can have some clear production content that we can discuss by then. For now, I'd like to all thank you very much and close the call within an hour of starting it, unless other people have any other business they would like to bring forward. I don't see anything, so I'd like to thank you all very much for attending and looking forward to the next call. Bye all.